I, Enoch, beheld a celestial tapestry unfold, the heavens parting to reveal luminescent forms descending, beings of light unlike the sun's fiery kiss or the moon's gentle glow. They were the children of the stars, gracing our world in an age when the very concept of fear was foreign to the hearts of humankind. These ethereal visitors bore secrets gleaned from realms beyond our wildest imaginings, igniting within us a spark of ambition that would forever alter the course of our destiny. From their unions with mortal women, the giants were born, colossal beings whose presence would both inspire awe and sow the seeds of destruction. And in my visions, I foresaw the cataclysmic rage of the waters, a deluge of biblical proportions that would cleanse the earth, leaving behind a world forever scarred. From a realm that exists only in the most vivid of dreams, I shall recount the extraordinary life I witnessed, a life teeming with both wonder and sorrow. Long before the great flood engulfed the earth, washing away the sins of humanity, we lived in peaceful harmony, nestled in simple villages beneath the sheltering embrace of ancient trees and boundless skies. Yet, alas, it was not long before the delicate equilibrium between heaven and earth began to crumble. From the celestial spheres came beings of immense power, tasked with guiding humankind, yet forbidden from direct intervention. But captivated by the ethereal beauty of human women, they strayed from their sacred duty, succumbing to earthly desires and birthing the giants, a race of beings whose immense strength would come to both protect and threaten our existence. In those bygone days, I, Enoch, was already a man weathered by time, my life a tapestry woven with threads of profound reflection. One serene morning, I sought solace upon a great rock nestled in the heart of the valley, my gaze fixed upon the distant horizon. The earth groaned in silent agony, as if a vital organ had been shattered, and I felt its pain reverberate within the depths of my own chest. My son, Methuselah, a man of unwavering faith, trusted my intuition implicitly and understood the profound meaning behind my silences. I sensed his concern growing as the air grew heavy, charged with an unseen energy. Though my heart trembled with foreboding, I chose to withhold my fears from the villagers, not yet willing to shatter their fragile peace. I merely implored Methuselah to share with any willing ear the importance of unity and vigilance, for dark clouds were gathering on the horizon. The world in those times still radiated the pristine innocence of its very first breath. Creatures great and small had not yet learned to fear mankind, and the waters of the river responded with gentle grace to our heartfelt prayers. Naamah, a young woman renowned for her unwavering courage, was admired by all. Her voice possessed the unwavering strength of the eastern wind, and it was said that her touch could calm the most turbulent of whirlpools. It was Naamah who first warned us that the river waters had grown murky, tainted by an unseen force. I shared her unease, for her intuition mirrored my own growing anxieties. The earth was manifesting its sorrow in countless subtle ways. Some villagers claimed to have sensed faint tremors, as if the earth were stirring restlessly from a long and troubled slumber. Yet I knew in my heart that this was no gentle awakening, but rather the prelude to a cataclysmic event. I had barely crossed the threshold of my humble hut when a sudden, deafening roar shook the very foundations of our world. The earth quivered beneath my feet, sending tremors of fear through the village, and my heart pounded in my chest like a frantic drum. Though the cataclysm lasted only for a fleeting moment, it was enough to instill terror in the hearts of every living soul. Amidst the ensuing chaos, Noah, a child of my own blood, appeared before me, his eyes wide with fear, seeking comfort in my embrace. I calmed him as best I could, assuring him that it might simply be a sign that the earth needed our care and attention. Deep within, however, I knew that this was only the beginning, the first act in a tragedy that was yet to unfold. Not long after, the initial terror gave way to a brief moment of relief. No visible damage had befallen the huts, and life slowly began to return to its semblance of normalcy. Still, the unease etched upon the faces of those who knew me best only deepened, for they sensed the storm brewing within my soul. I felt with unwavering certainty that this tremor was a harbinger of something far more unsettling, a sign that our world was about to be irrevocably changed. Though I could not yet name the impending doom, Something deep within me cried out that life would never again be the same. Far from my humble village, soaring high above the reach of humankind, rose the majestic peak of Mount Hermon. Upon its sacred slopes dwelled those who had descended from the heavens in days long forgotten by men, beings whose very existence blurred the line between myth and reality. Those who had glimpsed them swore that they possessed pale, smooth skin, with bodies that radiated both strength and ethereal grace. Their faces resembled those of men, yet something about them was profoundly different. A strange, otherworldly beauty that seemed to emanate from a realm beyond our comprehension. Among those who had descended from the heavens were Semyaza and Azazel, two powerful beings who watched over the steps of humankind from their lofty perch. Semyaza had confessed to Azazel that the beauty of human women stirred within him a longing he had never before experienced. Though they were not of his world, they possessed an inner light that drew his very soul, igniting within him a desire that threatened to consume him. Azazel felt uneasy at his companion's words, yet a sense of curiosity also stirred within his own heart. He knew that they had to remain cautious, for humans were still primitive beings, and their sacred duty was only to watch over them, not to interfere in their destiny. But Semyaza had grown weary of silently observing humanity through the endless corridors of eternity. He had witnessed firsthand much of human suffering and began to question whether they should intervene to ease their burdens, to guide them towards a brighter future. Azazel pondered the idea of sharing transformative knowledge with humanity, knowledge that could elevate their existence, though he understood that it was not knowledge alone that made them worthy, but what they chose to do with it, the wisdom with which they wielded their newfound power. Both Semyaza and Azazel knew that by taking such a monumental step, they would cross boundaries never before breached, shattering the delicate balance between heaven and earth. They themselves would be forever changed, and the world of humans would be transformed alongside them, for better or for worse. A silent pact began to form between them, marking the beginning of the end of the established order. The laws they had sworn to uphold forbade any direct interference. To act would mean shattering the delicate fabric of balance that had held the universe together since the dawn of time. At that precise moment, a faint tremor passed through the ground, like an ancient sigh from the earth itself, as though the world remembered that a forgotten law was about to be broken, that a sacred covenant was about to be shattered. Azazel sensed clearly that the earth was trying to warn them, to dissuade them from their perilous course. Semyaza, however, interpreted the tremor as a sign that perhaps the human world was ready for what was coming, that humanity was on the cusp of a great transformation. Both remained waiting in silence, as if time itself had frozen, suspended in the balance between destiny and destruction. In that fleeting instant, something unseen had already begun to take shape, a force that would forever alter the course of history. In the days that followed, the village tried to return to its usual state of calm. While the women tended to their children, nurturing the future of our tribe, the men led their herds to graze in the quiet meadows, drawing sustenance from the bounty of the land. Yet beneath the surface of peace, worry lingered in the air, unspoken but deeply felt by all. Everyone searched my eyes for a reassurance that I simply did not possess, a confirmation that everything would be all right. Naima's gaze, once filled with unyielding joy, now carried a faint shadow of unease, a silent acknowledgement of the impending darkness. She confided in me that several neighbors had noticed game growing scarce, and that even the birds seemed to avoid the river, their melodious songs replaced by an unsettling silence. She wondered aloud if perhaps they were fleeing from something, sensing an unseen danger lurking just beyond the horizon. I, thoughtful, answered that nature was wise and was trying to tell us something, that we needed to stay alert, to heed the warning signs before it was too late. As the days passed, I began to lose my peace at night, my slumber haunted by vague, disturbing visions. Tall, silent figures watched me from a place I could not name, their presence both alluring and terrifying. One evening, seeking clarity and solitude, I walked toward the edge of the village, hoping to find solace in the embrace of nature. Just as I set out, something stopped me dead in my tracks. There, standing in the path between the trees, stood a creature unlike any I had ever seen before, its form both familiar and alien. At once I felt that the encounter was no accident, The being seemed to have been waiting for me, as if our destinies were intertwined. I spoke to it softly, asking where it came from and why it was there, seeking answers to the questions that plagued my soul. Following its gaze with curiosity, I lifted my eyes and felt my heart quicken in my chest. On a high rock in the distance, bathed in the last ethereal light of day, stood a tall and imposing figure, its silhouette etched against the twilight sky. Its posture was upright and noble, radiating a serene calm that seemed beyond the reach of mankind, untouched by the turmoil of earthly existence. It watched me, motionless as a stone statue, its gaze piercing and knowing. Despite the distance, I could clearly perceive its strange, unearthly beauty, a beauty that both captivated and terrified me. A chill ran down my body, raising goosebumps on my skin. Could it be one of those beings the old stories spoke of, a celestial being descended from the heavens? I whispered to myself, with a certainty that settled deep within my bones, that something vast and unknown would soon descend from those ancient mountains, changing our world forever. I knew then that the village would go on, but it would never again be as it once was, that the innocence of our past had been irrevocably shattered. I felt an invisible force beginning to guide me, pulling me towards an unknown destiny. That encounter marked the beginning of my spiritual awakening, the moment when I truly understood the profound connection between the earthly and the divine. Everything, I realized, had been foretold in ancient prophecies, waiting to be fulfilled. The Watchers knew well that the path they had chosen would transform our world and all who lived in it, ushering in a new era of both enlightenment and destruction. The sky grew heavy with dark, ominous clouds, as if a higher power sought to warn them not to continue with their plans, to turn back from the precipice of disaster. With resolute eyes, however, they descended the slopes of Mount Hermon, their hearts filled with a mixture of excitement and dread, fully aware that they were crossing a boundary from which there was no return. What they were about to do broke their own sacred laws and would forever disturb the delicate balance that had existed since the dawn of creation itself. They had resolved to live among humankind, to share their knowledge and their power, but at what cost? Semyaza calmly regarded the luminous spheres floating silently above them, celestial guardians watching over their descent. He tasked them with watching our world closely, marking safe paths, hidden shelters, and dangers yet unseen, preparing the way for their arrival. He then remembered his own homeland, a distant paradise beyond the stars, and spoke with longing of the crystal waters of Ashtara, glowing under the three moons at night, a place of ethereal beauty and boundless peace. Azazel agreed, his heart also filled with nostalgia, but remarked that our world was different, scarred by suffering and ignorance. Here the creatures suffered, unable to move forward into the harmony that Elelir had bestowed upon his dwelling. Semyaza, nodding softly, recalled that Elelir had entrusted them with guarding young and fragile worlds, not through force or domination, but by silently watching over their growth, guiding them towards the light. It was then that one of the luminous spheres detected an anomaly, a human whose essence did not align with the rest, a being who defied the natural order of creation. Something in that spirit burned with a unique intensity, setting it apart from the masses. Intrigued, Azazel asked what kind of human could possibly draw the attention of an Orh Alam, a celestial guardian of such immense power. Meanwhile, Semyaza and Azazel moved steadily among the trees, their forms bathed in the gentle light of the moon, their footsteps silent and purposeful. They felt the forest itself watching them in awe, as though this corner of the world had never witnessed such presences before, its ancient trees bowing in reverence. In that moment, Semyaza's gaze fixed on a human figure walking slowly toward the outskirts of the village, her movements graceful and serene. What struck him was the firmness of her step and the rare serenity that surrounded her, a sense of inner peace that radiated from her very being. Then he understood. Within her burned the hidden flame that Elelir had placed in human essence when the earth was young and still without a name, the spark of divinity that resided within us all. An irresistible pull stirred within him, drawing him towards her like a moth to a flame. Semyaza knew that approaching this human meant breaking an ancient law, yet he could not stop himself, compelled by a force beyond his control. Naima felt a shiver run down her spine as she glimpsed the silhouettes of the Watchers, their forms both alluring and terrifying. Something inside warned her that they were not of this earth, that their presence defied the natural order of things. Were they wandering spirits, lost souls searching for a home, or perhaps those ancient dwellers of the heights spoken of in legend, beings of immense power and unfathomable knowledge? Her heartbeat quickened, and she asked directly about their origin, seeking to understand the mystery that surrounded them, aware that their presence disturbed the very air around them. Semyaza remained silent, returning her question with an inscrutable gaze, his thoughts hidden behind a veil of mystery. The rupture was complete, the boundary shattered. They would no longer watch from afar, content to observe from their celestial perch, for they had descended fully to walk the paths of humankind, to mingle with mortals and alter the course of history. The sun, one among the countless lights scattered across creation, bore witness to something unseen since the earliest days, a convergence of worlds that would forever alter the destiny of mankind. As it rose, its golden rays brushed gently against the rooftops of our village, painting the scene with an ethereal glow. Word spread swiftly through the village. No one could remember ever seeing anything like it, celestial beings walking among us as if they were flesh and blood. Though those beings carried a beauty beyond human measure, a radiant glow that captivated all who beheld them, they also bore a mystery that no one could name, a hint of darkness that lurked beneath their shimmering exteriors. The Watchers believed that I, an old man among men, a relic of a bygone era, carried a soul both awakened and rare, a spiritual antenna capable of receiving the divine whispers. Perhaps, they hoped, if the heavens allowed, I might open the path between the earthly and the eternal, bridging the gap between our world and theirs. Semyaza appeared before me with Azazel at his side, their presence radiating an aura of immense power, telling me they had come from distant lands to share unknown knowledge with us, to guide us towards a brighter future. Calmly, I asked about their origin, intrigued by the kind of realm that could forge such creatures, beings of such extraordinary beauty and power. Semyaza then spoke of his home, a kingdom called Ashtera, lying beneath endless skies and among stars kindled by Elelir, a realm of celestial wonders beyond human comprehension. For ages they had watched our world, keeping silent and apart, observing our struggles and our triumphs from their lofty perch. His words left me stunned, my mind struggling to grasp the enormity of their revelation. I had never heard of stars or of worlds separated by unfathomable abysses, concepts that defied my limited understanding. My mind could not grasp the magnitude of what he revealed, and lifting my eyes to the sky, I searched in vain for answers, seeking a glimpse of the celestial wonders he described. Amid the gathered crowd, Azazel noticed a quiet, composed young woman whose modest beauty stood out with clarity, a beacon of light in a sea of faces. Her name was Sephira, and her eyes possessed a rare ability to perceive what was hidden from others, to see beyond the veil of illusion. When her name was spoken in the presence of the visitors, Sephira felt heat rush to her face, a blush of both embarrassment and excitement, yet she held Azazel's gaze firmly, drawn by the commanding presence of the being before her. As their eyes remained locked, the world around Sephira seemed to slowly fade away, the sounds of the village receding into the background. Strange visions swept through her mind, overwhelming her senses. Endless skies filled with dancing lights, landscapes painted in colors she had never known, colossal structures drifting in the vastness of space. All wrapped in the ache of a distant memory, a longing for a home she had never known. Methuselah watched with rising unease, feeling his heart pound with a dark, cold anxiety. Though he too was curious about Semyaza and Azazel, intrigued by their celestial origins, he sensed that the union of two such different peoples would bring far more sorrow than blessing, that their presence would disrupt the natural order and unleash unforeseen consequences. I, Enoch, had left behind my first warnings, lulled into a false sense of security, now convinced that these beings would bring my people bright and plentiful days, ushering in an era of unprecedented prosperity. Yet the union between those who descended from the heavens and the children of men had broken the ancient laws of Elelir, shattering the sacred covenant between heaven and earth. From that act sprang a seed whose fruit remained unknown, a seed of both immense potential and unimaginable destruction. Awed by their splendor and wisdom, seduced by the promise of a brighter future, few noticed that a door had been opened to something that should never have existed, a gateway to a realm of forbidden knowledge and unimaginable power. Time kept moving among the children of the earth, oblivious to the impending storm. The visitors, once looked at with wonder and awe, had become part of the everyday scenery, their presence as commonplace as the rising of the sun. Life began to shift slowly through the teachings of Semyaza and Azazel. Though each guided us in very different ways, their philosophies clashing and creating friction within the village. Semyaza revealed knowledge meant to enrich our lives, always careful not to disturb the delicate balance of the world, sharing wisdom that would enhance our existence without corrupting our souls. One clear night by the river, he showed Methuselah and me how to read the stars, explaining their movements and how to measure time and seasons, unlocking the secrets of the cosmos. He taught us that every light in the sky followed a path drawn by Elelir, and by understanding those paths, our people would sow better, eat better, and live better, prospering in harmony with the natural world. Methuselah, amazed by these lessons, voiced his concern that in gaining such wisdom we might lose the humility that kept us grounded on earth, that our newfound knowledge might lead to arrogance and hubris. But Semyaza, calm and steady, promised that his intent was to bring us balance and prosperity, never to change our nature or bring any suffering, assuring us that his motives were pure. Azazel, meanwhile, began teaching chosen men the art of forging metal weapons, showing them how to master fire to craft spears, swords, and other tools of power, unlocking the potential of destruction. He claimed these weapons would secure our strength and dominion, ensuring that other tribes respected and feared us, protecting us from our enemies. In the privacy of her home, Saphira tried to share her concerns with Azazel, her voice filled with worry. She could see clearly what others could not. She sensed that weapons would draw the attention of nearby villages, inevitably leading to conflict and war, shattering the peace we had long enjoyed. Azazel, however, insisted that power brought safety and respect, and that hiding knowledge would only doom us to vulnerability and subjugation, arguing that strength was the only path to survival. Saphira then asked if it was truly possible for a higher being to descend among men without upsetting the balance of their world, without unleashing unforeseen consequences. That question stirred a shadow of doubt in Azazel, a flicker of uncertainty in his unwavering resolve. There was deep judgment in her words, revealing an intuition he had not expected from humans, a wisdom that challenged his own understanding. In a quiet corner of the village, Naima and Semyaza spoke softly beneath the starry sky, their voices hushed and concerned. The teachings of Azazel were already beginning to trouble them both, sowing seeds of discord among the villagers. Semyaza voiced his worry that perhaps it was too soon for men to wield such force, that they lacked the maturity to handle such power responsibly. That very night, a light began to descend from the heavens, a beacon of divine judgment. It meant the Creator had turned his gaze upon us, scrutinizing our actions. Alerted by the villagers, I watched the figure without blinking, my breath caught in my chest, my heart pounding in anticipation. He resembled Semyaza and Azazel, yet something set him apart. A calm strength, an authority that needed no words, an aura of unquestionable power. His name was Uriel, a name that resonated with divine power. He warned me clearly that heaven's law had been broken, and that those who had descended from the firmament had crossed forbidden boundaries, venturing into territory where they did not belong. He urged me to caution my people about the dark days approaching, to prepare them for the trials that lay ahead. Amazed, I asked how he knew my name and from where he had come, seeking to understand the nature of this celestial visitor. Confusion weighed on my heart, for I had sincerely believed that the arrival of these heavenly visitors was a blessing for us, a gift from the gods. Uriel declared with authority that he was the guardian of the boundaries set by Elelir, entrusted with maintaining the balance between worlds, and that the knowledge we now possessed had been taken without divine permission, stolen from the heavens. Three new lives were growing in the wombs of our women, lives not entirely human, whose arrival would bring difficult days of trial, birthing a new race of beings whose existence would challenge the very fabric of our reality. At that moment, from the shadows, Semyaza and Azazel appeared, walking slowly with cautious eyes, their faces etched with a mixture of respect and fear, for before them stood Uriel, the watcher who acted under the command of Elelir among stars and worlds, a celestial enforcer of divine law. Semyaza spoke first, his tone conciliatory yet tense, insisting that his intentions had never been harmful, but rather meant to bring light to the children of men, to elevate their existence. Uriel watched them with a stern, unyielding gaze, his eyes filled with disappointment. He reminded them that they had broken the supreme law, mingling with earthly beings and creating something that should never have existed, defying the will of the Creator. He declared that their actions had placed the order set by Elelir in grave danger, threatening to unravel the very fabric of the universe. Azazel answered with conviction, claiming they had given knowledge so that humanity would no longer wander blindly, but could instead seize its own destiny, empowering them to shape their own future. Yet Uriel replied that they had crossed a boundary Elelir had drawn with wisdom, a boundary designed to protect both humanity and the celestial realm. Knowledge granted without the proper maturity was poison disguised as blessing, a dangerous weapon in the hands of those who were not ready to wield it responsibly. The day would come when those very gifts would turn against us, and against them as well, unleashing a wave of destruction that would engulf us all. Much had changed since the Watchers descended upon Mount Hermon, transforming our world beyond recognition. Our village had grown accustomed to the presence of those children of the stars, seeing them as teachers and protectors, benefactors bestowing upon us unimaginable gifts. Still, no one had imagined the true scope of the union between both worlds, the consequences of their forbidden love. From the bond of Semyaza and Naima were born the twins, Damel and Arhan, colossal beings whose very existence defied the laws of nature. Meanwhile, Azazel and Sephira conceived a son they named Nimrith, a child destined for greatness, but also burdened by a dark destiny. Tall as trees, the three stood out unmistakably among us, their imposing figures casting long shadows across the village. Their appearance stirred admiration, a sense of awe at their sheer size and power, but also something unsettling, a silent shiver in anyone who gazed at them too long, a feeling that we were in the presence of something unnatural. Their height defied the laws of the world, and their arms held the strength to rip stones from the earth, making them both revered and feared. Yet wisdom did not dwell within them. They only sensed dimly that their power was extraordinary, never realizing it would make them more feared than loved, that their very existence would sow the seeds of destruction. One day, Nimrith sought to display his strength before the children of the village, his motives a mixture of pride and a desire to impress. It was not just a house that fell in that display of power, crushed beneath his immense strength. It was also the illusion of control, the belief that we could contain the power of the giants. In that instant, every eye opened wide, and fear struck deep, as all understood that we lived beside beings who could destroy us with a single blow, beings whose power was beyond our comprehension. Methuselah, his eyes heavy with suspicion, warned everyone about the unnatural nature of what was happening, urging them to heed the signs that had been ignored for too long. He said that ever since the sons of heaven had arrived, we had ignored the obvious signs, blinded by their beauty and their promises. Their children possessed a strength completely beyond our control, a force that threatened to consume us all. I tried to reassure my neighbors, explaining that there was no evil in the hearts of these giants, only a power they did not yet understand. One they still had to learn to master, to control their immense strength. Despite my words, I could not silence the growing unease within my own spirit, the premonition of impending doom. I chose to withdraw into the nearby forest, seeking the clarity and peace I only ever found among those ancient, silent trees, hoping to find answers in the whispers of nature. In that secluded corner of the woods, surrounded by tall and steadfast trunks, I closed my eyes and let the whispers of nature wash over me, as though the earth itself were trying to soothe my restless soul, to calm the storm raging within me. With every breath, I felt the physical world fade away around me, my senses dissolving into the embrace of nature. Something inside me crossed the boundaries of time, touching a reality that no words could fully describe, a realm beyond human comprehension. Suddenly, I was struck by a violent, overwhelming vision. Before my eyes stretched a raging ocean, its waters advancing relentlessly over the land, consuming everything in its path. My heart pounded with anguish as I watched a colossal wave rise on the horizon, a wall of water towering over the land, driving straight toward our village, threatening to engulf everything I loved. A cry caught in my throat, and just as the wave was about to crash down upon everything I held dear, I opened my eyes, jolted back to reality. The forest's calm stood in stark contrast to that terrifying vision, the tranquility of nature a stark reminder of the impending chaos. I sensed it had not been a simple dream, but a clear warning, a premonition of the cataclysm that awaited us. I quickly began the journey back to the village, knowing I had to warn my people and face the truth revealed to me. An unimaginable storm was drawing near, threatening to wipe us all from the face of the earth. The earth itself had felt the weight of those days, groaning under the burden of our sins, and what had begun as peace had turned into a constant, nearly unbearable tension, a feeling that something was about to snap. I had believed our village would flourish with the knowledge given by Semyaza and Azazel, that their wisdom would guide us towards a brighter future. But instead of abundance, scarcity arrived, threatening to tear us apart. Nimrith, Arhan, and Damel had grown to colossal size, their hunger insatiable. They were clearly unlike any human, their appetites exceeding our ability to provide, and it became harder with each passing day to satisfy their endless hunger, their demands draining our resources. They devoured the fruits of our harvest without pause, consuming in a single day the work of many weeks, depleting our stores and leaving us with nothing. Our stores dwindled quickly, and soon there was not enough food even for the children, their cries of hunger echoing through the village. Methuselah then reminded me of the words of the messenger Uriel, warning that the sons of heaven had brought curse and ruin, that their arrival had unleashed a wave of destruction upon our world. A chill ran down my spine. That powerful yet steady voice of Uriel had left a lasting mark on me, a constant reminder of our folly. In that moment, a sudden vision struck me with force. I clearly saw a vast wooden vessel floating upon dark, raging waters, beneath skies that roared with ancient thunder, the last hope for humanity. Mountains and cities were swallowed by the abyss, and I understood that more than a ship, it was the final echo of a dying world, a symbol of our failure. I confessed then to my son that Uriel's words weighed heavily on my soul, that I could no longer deny the truth. I knew the end was drawing near, though I had not imagined how deep that abyss would be, how complete our destruction would be. Yet I was certain that the worst still waited for its hour, that the true horrors were yet to be unleashed. The situation grew even worse when the giants, no longer satisfied with destroying our fields and consuming our resources, began to venture into neighboring lands, their destructive rampages spreading across the countryside. The people of those villages started blaming us for having brought such monsters into the world, holding us responsible for the devastation they had wrought. One night, gathered around the central fire, a silent crowd fixed their furious and unsettled eyes on me, their faces filled with resentment. The spears they carried frightened me less than their stares, heavy with reproach and accusation, a silent condemnation of our actions. The leader demanded justice, blaming us for the devastation caused by our giants, holding us accountable for their crimes. I tried to calm everyone, explaining that those youths still did not understand the strength they carried, and that only time could teach them balance and restraint, that their destructive behavior was born of ignorance, not malice. But the crowd erupted in fury and marched toward Azazel's dwelling, where they found him calm beneath the faint glow of the moon, indifferent to the chaos he had unleashed, seemingly untouched by the suffering of his people. Semyaza, desperate, pleaded for patience and understanding, begging them not to lose control, to avoid further violence. Azazel, however, answered with pride and defiance, reminding them of who they truly were, beings who had watched our world long before it first drew breath, celestial guardians above the petty squabbles of mortals. At that moment, the clouds began to churn, and the air grew suddenly cold, as if the heavens themselves were angered by our actions. The sky thickened, as if the light itself had been suspended, plunged into darkness. Then I heard the first thunder clearly, a deep lament rising from the bowels of the earth, a primal scream echoing through the ages. The storm arrived not like a wave, but like a crushing blow, unleashing its fury upon our world. From my distant corner, I watched with a knot in my chest, my heart filled with despair. I saw how the lightning fell with unnatural slowness, casting a terrifying glow over the faces of men who, consumed by fear, ran aimlessly in every direction, seeking shelter from the wrath of the heavens. What I witnessed that night filled me with both wonder and dread, a mixture of awe and terror. I knew then that the bond between humans and the children of the stars had begun to break for good, shattered beyond repair, leaving us to face the consequences of our actions. Days later, under the cold light of a pale moon, Azazel gathered a group of villagers near the forest's edge, his motives shrouded in mystery. His face reflected a dangerous blend of restrained anger and iron resolve as he prepared a strange substance that glimmered faintly in the torchlight, its composition unknown and unsettling. Azazel told the villagers he had seen their suffering and offered them a gift to protect them forever, a shield against the dangers that threatened to consume them. One of them stared in fascination as he mixed dark soil, sticky resins, and a yellowish powder that gave off the stench of sulfur, the ingredients of a dark magic. He explained that this gift came from the very bowels of the earth, warning that no mortal power could ever extinguish that inferno once Azazel had unleashed it upon their enemies. Before long, the formula was being used in lamps illuminating paths and homes. It burned longer, brighter than any fire they had known before, though they were yet to witness its true, devastating potential. For a fleeting moment, the village tasted a return to its former confidence, believing itself shielded by Azazel's gift, a bastion against the dangers lurking beyond. But this peace proved as ephemeral as morning mist. Mere weeks later, the giants Nimrith, Arhen, and Damel returned to the neighboring village, their rage unslaked, and laid waste to it with barbaric fury. This time, however, the villagers were ready. Forewarned and armed, they met the giants head-on in a brutal, desperate battle. During the fierce clash, Nimrith, the largest and most savage of the three, was struck in the leg by a spear, the sharpened bronze piercing his thick hide. He crashed to the earth with earth-shattering force, his roars echoing through the valleys, a mixture of pain and disbelief. Though the giants ultimately survived the encounter, they retreated, wounded and humiliated. Their pride stung more deeply than their flesh. Nimrith, now blinded by incandescent rage and wounded pride, demanded vengeance from Azazel. He would not rest until the insult had been repaid tenfold. Azazel, ever eager to fan the flames of conflict, once again gathered the villagers in the familiar forest clearing, his eyes gleaming with dark promise. He pledged to reveal wonders beyond their wildest imaginings if they defended his honor and exacted retribution upon their enemies. The villagers, their minds poisoned by promises of safety and absolute power, secretly prepared dozens of clay containers, each filled with that volatile, incendiary substance. They worked in hushed whispers under the cloak of night, their fear warring with a growing thirst for dominance. Then, without warning, the storm broke. A rain of fiery projectiles descended upon the unsuspecting neighboring village, transforming the once peaceful settlement into an uncontrollable conflagration. A roaring inferno that painted the night sky in shades of orange and red. Every desperate attempt to quench the flames proved futile. This was no ordinary fire. It did not obey the natural laws of the world. Instead, human suffering itself seemed to fuel the blaze, driving it higher, hotter, more insatiable. From a distance, Semyaza and I stood witness to the unfolding tragedy in absolute silence, our hearts heavy with dread. The gifts once bestowed with such high hopes had become curses, instruments of unimaginable destruction. And in that horrifying moment, I recalled Uriel's severe, prophetic warnings. Power without wisdom is the open door to suffering. How right he had been. Azazel, standing proudly amidst the chaos, remained unrepentant. He brazenly accused the humans of acting according to their own inherently violent and destructive nature, washing his hands of the blood that stained the landscape. In that instant, I saw clearly that the darkness in his heart knew no limits, that his ambition was a bottomless pit. I could bear no more. I chose then to turn away from that unfolding horror and return to the sanctuary of the forest, the sacred place where I had received my first visions, the place where hope had once bloomed. There, slowly and with deliberate resolve, I lifted my gaze to the heavens, questioning how beings of such wisdom and power could have brought such ruin upon the world. Perhaps, I thought with growing dread, Azazel was right. Perhaps the true root of this disaster lay not with the Watchers, but within the flawed, fragile nature of men themselves. With a trembling voice, I pleaded to Elelir for an answer, desperate to know if this cataclysm was the inevitable fate of my people, a predetermined path from which there was no escape. At that instant, the world seemed to pause, holding its breath. I recalled vividly the comforting, unwavering voice of Uriel, assuring me that Elelir never ignored what had come to pass, that he was always watching, always aware. Then, among the stars that Semyaza had so patiently taught us to watch and understand, a bright point of light appeared, its brilliance intensifying as it descended slowly from the heavens, with a solemn, inexorable grace that crushed the soul. And then, Uriel came. His steps were like luminous shadows that danced across the earth, reshaping the very landscape with his presence. His deep, ancient eyes seemed to have witnessed the first spark of creation and the last darkness of countless fallen worlds. He walked straight toward me, his gaze unwavering, declaring with absolute authority that the time had come for Elelir to restore the lost order, to cleanse the corruption that had festered within our world. Uriel's words were like cool water on burning ground, a balm to my tormented soul. I desperately wanted to believe that if Elelir had finally turned his gaze upon us, there might still be hope, a glimmer of salvation for our children. But what followed shattered my spirit completely, leaving me broken and despairing. Uriel revealed the devastating truth. Our people had become irredeemably corrupted, and Elelir had decreed a great flood to cleanse the world, to wash away the stain of our sins. All would perish, even the innocent who had never taken part in these evils, even the children who had barely begun their lives. My heart broke at that judgment. I could not understand why all must pay for the sins of a few, why mercy could not be found amidst the condemnation. But before the flood, it was necessary to erase the existence of those who never should have been born, whose very presence violated the oldest law that upheld the balance of infinite worlds, watched from afar by unseen guardians. I did not answer. I simply could not. I felt that Uriel was unlike the other visitors from heaven. His presence radiated a sacred purity, as if his words sprang directly from the primordial light that had given birth to all things. Soon after, Uriel walked to the center of our village. Around him, the villagers stood in reverent silence, gazing at the celestial being who advanced with unearthly grace and undeniable authority. Uriel solemnly warned Semyaza of the gravity of the deeds committed by him and his brothers from the heavens, the consequences of their forbidden interference. Semyaza, crushed by the weight of his actions, admitted, too late, the horror caused by his choices. He had finally come to grasp the magnitude of the damage he had wrought upon the world and, heavy with guilt, confessed that he could not hand over his children to be destroyed. He had helped Nimrith, Arhan, and Damel escape, hoping against hope that they might one day find redemption, a path back to the light. Uriel listened in silence, his gaze unwavering, clearly understanding the pain Semyaza carried, recalling for a fleeting instant a similar moment that had once unfolded in another distant world, a universe away. At last, he warned that though Elelir might consider his repentance, his children would not escape divine justice forever. Their fate was sealed, their transgressions unforgivable. Azazel, on the other hand, remained defiant, his arrogance unwavering. He spoke with scathing contempt, rejecting all authority and accusing humans of being unworthy, destructive creatures, undeserving of salvation. Uriel answered with righteous severity, declaring that human darkness should have manifested without celestial interference, that their meddling had irrevocably altered the course of destiny. From the heights, gentle flashes of light descended, taking form before our eyes and revealing themselves as the ORH Alam, celestial guardians tasked with tracking and watching over all life across the worlds, the unseen eyes of Elelir. Uriel commanded them to find the sons of Azazel and Semiaza, assuring that no earthly force could keep them hidden, that their pursuit would be relentless. At last, Uriel proclaimed with unyielding authority that Azazel, too, would not escape divine judgment. His hour was already written, and his punishment would not be delayed. From my distant place, I felt the crushing weight and gravity of those words. Our world was about to face a judgment that no one could stop, a reckoning of unimaginable proportions. For a long time, Uriel walked among men with a mission clear and unbreakable. He had to find the children of the Watchers, to bring them to justice. The ORH Alam, gifted with the wisdom of Ashtara, swept across the skies in search of the giants, their movements like luminous brushstrokes against the canvas of the heavens, reminding us that every choice carries the power to create breathtaking beauty or unleash utter chaos. They crossed untamed landscapes carved by the Creator, places never touched by human hands, where nature spoke with a voice of its own, where the very air hummed with ancient power. Amid those endless lands, Damel and Arhan wandered aimlessly, consumed by the exhaustion of a long and desperate flight. Semiaza had warned them before they departed that Uriel would never rest until he found them, that his pursuit would be relentless and inescapable. As the days passed, their strength faded, their hope dwindled, until they could resist no longer. Even the strongest spirit breaks when hope is gone and the heart finds no rest, when despair becomes the only companion. Uriel sensed the signal of an ORH Alam and rose gently into the heights, moving in silence, a force of divine will, until he reached the giant's location at dawn. Damel and Arhan, aware of the immense power of the being approaching, accepted their fate with quiet resignation. They knew that resistance was futile. From the thickness of the forest, Nimrith watched them with cold, calculating resolve. Feeling he still had a chance, that he might yet escape the coming judgment, he turned and ran toward the coast, leaving his cousins behind without a backward glance. Clumsy and heavy though he was, inside him burned a stubborn light, a primal instinct that clung desperately to life. With a voice like thunder that shook the very ground beneath our feet, Uriel declared to Damel and Arhan that their very existence defied the eternal law and would not be tolerated under the Creator's gaze. Their lives were an abomination, an insult to the divine order. Without further warning, he lifted his eyes to the firmament. A supernatural storm began to form over the giants, darkening the sky and filling the air with raw, crackling energy. Relentless bolts of lightning struck the twins, their massive forms glowing with each violent surge. Their cries of agony echoed across the valley, carried on the wind, as their bodies slowly dissolved, disintegrating into nothingness. After one final blinding flash, only blue smoke and drifting ash remained, a testament to the power and finality of divine judgment. Far away, Nimrith had reached the coast and shoved desperately at a small wooden boat, built in secret over many months in anticipation of this tragic end. With one last look at the horizon, a mix of fear and defiance in his eyes, he climbed aboard and set sail southward, vanishing into the swirling ocean mists. In our village, I sat by the river in quiet meditation, seeking solace in the rhythm of the water. My aging body bore the weight of my worries, and my spirit was weary from all the strife and loss I had witnessed. Uriel then came to me, his presence a calming force, calmly revealing that the fate of the giants was sealed. Damel and Arhan would never again sow ruin or pain upon the earth, and Nimrith had departed toward barren lands where no strength could endure, where his wickedness would find no purchase. I also learned that Semiaza would return with him to Ashtara, to face his own reckoning, while Azazel would face the harvest of all he had sown, the consequences of his dark ambitions. I asked how he managed the balance among so many worlds and stars, how he could possibly oversee such immensity, and he explained that to Elelir immensity was nothing more than himself, present in all things, able to sustain every balance, the source of all creation. The sky had turned leaden, heavy with a storm that throbbed within the clouds, a prelude to the inevitable deluge. On the peak of a desolate mountain, Azazel waited with haughty arrogance for the inevitable arrival of Uriel. Soon, amid lightning tearing the heavens with furious energy, the sphere descended from above, a beacon of divine authority. Uriel had enforced order among the Watchers in many worlds, yet never had he faced such a great heresy. Giving carnal form to forbidden beings, half star, half clay, creatures born of a union that should never have been. Azazel, steeped in sarcasm and defiance, greeted Uriel with arrogant words, declaring that nothing could change what had been done or erase the marks left engraved in the hearts of men. He had irrevocably altered the course of history, and that was a fact that even the heavens could not deny. The eyes of Uriel reflected both disappointment and unwavering resolve, shaped by his rigorous training in the temples of Ashtara, where the natural balance of worlds was held in the highest reverence. Uriel spoke sternly of the immense suffering Azazel had caused, reminding him of the noble purpose bestowed upon them by Elelir, one that demanded humility and unwavering vigilance. Azazel tried to justify himself, claiming that humans needed his guidance, insisting he had only revealed their true, malicious spirit, that he had simply shown them who they truly were. But Uriel reminded him that only Elelir was the true creator, and that their task had always been only to watch, to observe, and never to interfere. Azazel moved forward, as if to display his strength, but suddenly he was frozen in place, unable to move even a finger. Confusion and fear spread across his face, replacing the arrogance that had defined him for so long. Uriel, steady and solemn, declared that his mission was to restore the broken balance, and that Azazel had become a danger to everything born under the Creator's gaze, a threat that could no longer be tolerated. When Uriel lifted his eyes to the sky, the clouds answered with a violent storm of blinding lightning, a display of raw, untamed power. Azazel's body remained immobile, trapped by an invisible force that stripped him of all will, leaving him utterly helpless. The fury in his eyes gave way to desperate, primal fear. From the clouds descended radiant beams of pure energy, wrapping Azazel in chains of solid light. Each one was an unbreakable bond tied to divine judgment, an inescapable consequence of his transgressions. Azazel struggled in vain as he was slowly pulled into the rocky ground, sinking inexorably, prisoner to those celestial bindings. And then silence reigned. The wind eased little by little, the clouds began to scatter, and the faint light of the sun filtered once more across the mountain's peak, now transformed into an eternal prison. Uriel stood still for a moment, gazing at the rocky tomb he himself had sealed. A trace of melancholy crossed his face, fully aware of the painful duty he had just fulfilled, the burden of responsibility he carried. Since Azazel's entombment beneath the mountains, it seemed even nature held its breath, waiting for what was to come, sensing the imminence of the coming cataclysm. By the river I waited patiently, aware that the end of my path was near. My weary eyes carried the serenity that comes with understanding, after having witnessed truths capable of breaking even the strongest hearts. Uriel then appeared with his usual solemnity and calm, telling me that Elelir had watched every step I had taken, every decision I had made, and that the time had come for me to leave this world, to join the celestial realm. At first I resisted the thought of leaving my people behind, for I longed to face whatever disaster might come alongside them, to offer them what little comfort I could. I could not understand why humans were not granted the chance to mend their mistakes, to redeem themselves. Uriel, with compassionate firmness, explained that to bestow power before its time leads inevitably to desolation, diverting the path the Creator had set, disrupting the delicate balance of the universe. The human soul had been irreparably tainted, and there was no turning back. When I asked what fate awaited me among the celestial beings, Uriel assured me I would see things no human I had ever beheld, reaching truths touched only by them, experiencing the wonders of creation in their full, breathtaking glory. He assured me that my legacy would endure through my bloodline, especially within the family of Noah, who would be chosen to survive the flood, to carry the torch of humanity into a new dawn. An ark would be built in secret, and when Eliezer opened the heavens, Noah's family would sail toward a new beginning, a chance to rebuild a shattered world. His words pierced my spirit, stirring silent tears of sorrow for what I was leaving behind and a flicker of hope for what was yet to come, a mixture of grief and anticipation. I accepted my fate with humility, ready to discover the wonders the heavens would reveal to me, to embrace the unknown. Not far away, on a small hill overlooking the valley, Semyaza gazed at the moonlit landscape, a poignant farewell etched on his face. Beside him, Naima carried the heavy sorrow of parting, her heart breaking with each silent moment. Semyaza acknowledged the immense damage caused by his presence and, aware that he must face the consequences of his actions, said goodbye with gentleness and melancholy, his voice filled with a profound sadness. He promised to carry forever in his dreams the memory of those moments shared beneath the stars, those fleeting moments of joy and connection that had illuminated his long and troubled existence. Naima stood still, feeling her soul break as Semyaza slowly vanished into the glowing sphere, ascending towards the heavens. She understood then that eternity is an illusion for those who have never loved, that time is a meaningless construct without the warmth of human connection. Everything of value burns quickly and fades in silence, leaving behind only ashes and memories. Meanwhile, Uriel's sphere awaited near the forest, bathed in an ethereal glow. I walked slowly toward it, ascending a ramp that seemed forged of solid light, a bridge between the mortal and the divine. Watching the village grow smaller beneath me, I felt a profound calm settle over my spirit, a sense of acceptance and peace. I embraced my fate without fear, wondering quietly what new wonders and truths would be unveiled in the realms beyond. The sphere that carried me moved through a vast expanse of shadow and brilliance, drawing away from my world until it became nothing more than a small blue point in the infinite darkness. With my eyes wide in absolute awe, I beheld a panorama no human had ever seen before, a spectacle beyond human comprehension. First appeared before me colossal columns of fire, immense forms of blazing flame rising from unfathomable depths, twisting upward like living creatures holding aloft unseen worlds, a tapestry of cosmic energy. Far ahead, I beheld stars that seemed to sing, their voices resonating in perfect harmony, a symphony of light and sound. Each star pulsed with its own unique light, coloring the darkness with silver, gold, and deep blue tones, an orchestra of celestial radiance. Much later, I witnessed colossal torrents of light bursting forth with indescribable power, emanating from the heart of creation. Like living beings forged from pure fire, these streams stretched between the luminaries of the heavens, connecting the distant reaches of the cosmos. In that moment, I understood that all I had known was nothing more than a spark within an infinite firmament, filled with presences, power, and wonders still unseen. A universe of endless possibilities. After passing through a region that seemed made of silver winds, I approached a vast world encircled by three golden spheres, glowing like a radiant jewel suspended in the void. A celestial oasis of unimaginable beauty. As I advanced toward that new destiny, I realized I was witnessing the absolute greatness of Eliezer's design, and I knew with certainty that my soul would never be the same, forever transformed by the wonders I had seen. Uriel's sphere crossed into the atmosphere of Ashtera, and I gazed upon a realm whose beauty overflowed all understanding, a paradise beyond human imagining. We descended toward a colossal structure raised atop a shining mountain, where the very stone itself poured forth light, a city of crystal and fire. Guided by Uriel, I walked through a gigantic hall whose walls gleamed like pure crystal, reflecting the infinite wonders of the cosmos. Radiant columns upheld endless ceilings that shimmered with reflections of impossible colors, creating a kaleidoscope of celestial light. At the center, upon a pedestal carved from unknown gems, stood Eliezer. His appearance escaped all human language, a being of radiant crystal essence, wrapped in a fire that never faded, a being of pure, unadulterated energy. When I tried to focus my eyes on his face, the force of the light and flame erased every detail. I could only perceive an infinite energy exhaling life, wisdom, and compassion, the source of all creation. I understood that this vision was only a form Elelir allowed to our limited eyes, a mere glimpse of his true nature. He was formless and without end, beyond even the reach of the Watchers, the ultimate source of all that is. Then his voice resounded deep within me, echoing through the chambers of my soul, reminding me that in a corrupted land I had walked with justice and compassion, that I had striven to uphold the light in the face of overwhelming darkness. He revealed that the day would come when the waters would cleanse the world, and that only the bloodline I had guided would restart the human story, carrying the seeds of hope into a new era. Until that time, I would remain there, learning hidden truths, so that my testimony might bring light to the survivors when the appointed hour arrived, guiding them towards a brighter future. Let these words be kept by those who walk after us. Do not give life to what you cannot understand, for it will not know how to love you, but it will surely know how to judge you.